If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. It's a great story. If you've at least even walked by a church in your life, you've heard this story. It's a very familiar one in Luke chapter 8, and I want to read this to you. It's the parable of the farmer scattering seed. Let me read it. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. And he said this, "A farmer went out to plant his seed, and as he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks, and it began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted." When he said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." His disciples asked him what this parable might mean. And he said, "Well, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use these parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled when it said, 'When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand.' This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent joy. It represents those who hear the message, who receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, just a while, and they fall away." Let that sink in for a moment. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, and then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow to maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. It's a great story. We're in a series on the parables, and the word parable from the original Greek New Testament means to place something alongside. A parable is a story in which the teller uses an understood truth about everyday life to teach something that is unknown, placing the familiar alongside the unfamiliar. In other words, it's an illustration. Jesus is using this story to let us know what it looks like when we are walking in the same, in the right path, and we are walking with the shepherd. And he leads us to that wonderful path where there'll be rich soil and you can grow anything in that soil. A parable is a story which the teller uses an understood truth about everyday life to teach us something that's unknown. So that's what we're learning. And the parable today involves three basic elements. You've got a sower, you've got seed, and you have various types of soil. And in the parable of the sower, the sower is Jesus. The seed is God's word, and the soil is the heart. So let's dig into this for a moment. I grew up in Ohio and went to school in Indiana, and in that area, you have just beautiful, large trees, a lot of them, trees. And they would lose their leaves each fall season. Of course, that's what trees do, unless you've got an evergreen of some kind. You know, they stay green year-round. I love those trees as much as the others. But one thing it did, the leaves came, they fell in the fall, and it was over, and you rake them up, and then new leaves would form come springtime. Then I got to Oklahoma a long time ago. And I don't know what it is at your house, but in my house, the other day I was kind of complaining. I guess it wasn't even kind of complaining. I was just sick and tired of it. Why do I have leaves dropping year-round? Why can't they just drop in like October and come back in June or May or April, whenever they come back? But no, I've got a certain tree. It's like a red, I don't know what it is. It's got red leaves. But for some reason, those leaves kind of die and then they drop. It's like, I don't want to rake leaves in August. And then we've got some other trees that's pine trees. We didn't plant these, but they're huge pine trees, and they drop these pine needles, like, I don't know what they're called, but you know, you get my point here. And then I go out in the morning. I swept it all off the night before because I don't like clutter, even when I'm sleeping. I like everything in place. And so I went out there this morning, and there were those pine needles blessing me every day. And I'm going to look up at them and say something that I would regret saying because I know God would hear it. Nobody else would, but God would, because I'm sick of these leaves. I'm tired of having to blow this crud off the sidewalks every day. Wah, 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 you know? And it's not a knock on Oklahoma. After almost 44 years here, I love this place, as you might imagine. But it's different. This is a great story about what happens when you sow the right things in the right kind of dirt, in the right kind of place, and you allow something to grow. Kim and I have kind of fooled around with certain flowers, and we have good luck. And the good news is they're still alive. But we like to see that happen, and the flowers are beautiful, and we love that. But there is a path that most people take at some point in their life, and it's the first path described in this text. And let's just jump right in. There are four types of soil. So there's, number one, hard soil. This hard soil represents a hard heart. And the Bible says there in verse 5, some of these things, the seed, fell along the path, and it was trampled on, which meant it was not going to grow, wouldn't even last. When I was in high school, and then even in college, we had a contractor in our church. He was a commercial builder and built bigger buildings and all. But he had a farm, and a huge, huge farm. And he wanted to give me and my brother and our friends a summer job. We needed a job. We wanted to work, or maybe I should say it, that we had to work. It's like, but Mom and Dad, you got plenty of money, don't you? No, you're going to work, you know, so I'm glad they said that. And we worked, and it was amazing what we learned. But he'd give us just anything to do to give him a reason to pay us something. And sure enough, we got out in the field, and we were picking up stuff that had fallen on the path between rows of corn. I love corn on the cob. I never have stopped liking it. I can just pull it right off the stalk. I mean, I love that stuff. In fact, when we were driving through Kansas not long ago, it's corn as far as you can see. And it's like, that's heaven right there. Just give me a glass of water and let me go get some corn, you know. So we were on this farm in Ohio, and we were going between the rows. And so when I hear this story, and when I tell the story, as I have many, many times over the years, I always think about that farm out in northwest area of Dayton, Ohio, where I grew up. And we would see what happened when you would maybe throw some seed, and over here it didn't seem to take root. Nothing happened over here, but over here it was just fabulous. And that's what we're hearing in this story. Some seed falls on the path, but it gets stepped on. It gets trampled on. In fact, most of us don't want to sow seed on a path because we know it's not going to make it. Every farm has these footprints, these footpaths, that a farmer will walk as he checks his crops. And because he walks over them several times a day, the soil, as you know, gets compacted. And there are two things true of a footpath. It's very hard and it's very narrow. And Jesus is using this as an illustration. This hard soil represents those who have a hard heart. And it may be that they also have had a tough life somewhere. Maybe they got trampled on. There's a lot of reasons why people have a hard heart toward Jesus. They don't want to hear about it. They want to talk about it. And many times I find that people have based what they see, what they assume Jesus to be, by some things they see Christians doing. And particularly if you don't understand Christian television, some are good and some aren't. And you don't know, I mean, if I wasn't a believer and I watched some of those things, I'd turn it off like that. And I think I'd get rid of the TV to be sure I didn't ever have any more of that again. Because it can be so harsh. And nobody gets to understand the context. I understand most of the context, where they're coming from, why they're saying what they're saying. But there are things that cause people to have what we would just call a hardened heart. And there's many minds are like this path. They're hard. They have hardening of the attitude. They say, don't confuse me with truth. I've got my mind made up. They're narrow-minded, which results in being a narrow person. When the seed gets thrown on this kind of soil, it has a very difficult time penetrating the dirt, and most of it doesn't work. The birds come along and eat the seed before it has a chance to take root because it lays on the surface and it doesn't get a chance to take root. And a hard soil representing a hard heart, and the result of this type of soil is a closed mind. Got anybody in your world is very close-minded, particularly if it comes to faith or following Jesus. In verse 12, Jesus tells us that the birds represent evil, Satan, who comes and takes away the seed, doing all he can to prevent the seed from taking root and changing the heart of the hearer of the gospel. The hardened path represents a closed mind, and that person is not interested in understanding what truth there is to know of the gospel. And this isn't on your note page, but I've at least found reasons why a person's mind can become closed to the gospel. The first one's fear. A lot of people are afraid of sometimes they're afraid of Christians. People are afraid of being a fanatic. You know, we don't like the idea of faith and things not seen crutch. You know, we don't, the world doesn't go for that. We live by it. It's one of the greatest parts of our church family, I think, through the years, is things that we didn't plan, didn't dream, didn't ask for, and it happened anyway. Sometimes we're supposed to take effort. We're supposed to get on our feet and go chase something that God said, go get that. Most of the time, I've seen such miraculous things happen, truly miraculous, when it came to us. And so many have this fear of God. He may make me change. He may want me to do something radical, and I don't want to be radical. I don't want to be a fanatic. I think one of the things we have to watch for in our church, and this reminds me of the issue that, and not an issue as much as it is, something I pay close attention to. We do have a very specific way we do church. That's what God called us to do as a church. Years and years ago, when this church started in 1959, and it's part of the tone of the church, the atmosphere of the church. I mentioned a few weeks ago, having visited Celebrate Recovery one Thursday night, watching some fabulous people graduating. See our folks are right over here. Go talk to them because they'll tell you what you need to do. And CR is open to all of our locations. It's open to everybody. And I made a comment then, I think the Sunday after that, that I sat there that night, it's always on a Thursday night, and I sat there, and I leaned over to Kim and I said, I think this gathering on Thursday nights in our chapel, it's like the furnace that warmed the whole building. I think this is where God is blessing us because we're not afraid to say and deal with pain. And what happens at times as believers, it's a hazard for me, it's a hazard for you. The longer you've been in church, the more hazardous it becomes. That for those of us on the inside, forget what it was like before we came in, what our life was like before we got in. And I know a lot of churches that different strategies and theories, and there's nothing wrong with all of them, any of them. I mean, they're all good. They're doing what God's called them to do. But one of the reasons we do exactly, we have a specific reason why we do worship and teaching on Sunday mornings. It's very practical. Because if all I did, I could stand up here easily and talk to and preach a sermon that all the church folks would get and understand. I could use words that you'd get and understand. But I think about literally up to hundreds of people who can visit our rooms on any given Sunday. They don't know what that word sanctification means. And so I feel like we're supposed to be that church that keeps it a little more practical on the weekends, and then we dig deeper in the classes, in the classrooms 7 days a week almost. And there are people that don't like that idea. And I've told you, and I love these people. We've had friends say this, we're going to find another church. And I say, well, why? Well, we just need deeper teaching. I've said this before, some of you have heard this. We just need deeper teaching. I said, no, that's not what you're saying. You're saying you want your fellowship and your teaching and you want communion and you want your worship, but you want it in 1 hour on Sunday morning. And that's not us. And I'll be honest with you, when I wake up on Sunday mornings, the first thing that comes to my mind typically when I think about getting over to church is all the people that might walk in here today for the first time, scared to death to give church a try, or fearful that they'd get hurt again, or fearful that they might look odd if they don't know all the words and all the phrases that we say in church. Now, that doesn't mean we don't say this stuff occasionally, but I'm always mindful of someone walking into one of our rooms who's saying, I'm going to try this one more time. And the testimony to that is last year we baptized over 350 people who came into our rooms and turned their life over to Christ. And they trusted us. So that's why we have to be very careful when we talk about these soil types. This hard soil represents a hard heart, and the result always is a closed mind. And we have to be very careful of that. James chapter 1 will tell us, don't just hear the message, put it into practice. Do something with it. Use it. Let God use you. And another reason a mind can close is to the gospel is just bitterness. There's resentment over some hurt from the past. They're mad at God. If God allowed that, no thanks, God. I don't need that. And we'd often develop our own theology based on some hurt in our life. We begin to say things like, a loving God would never do that or never allow that to happen to me. If God is real and loving, then why was I hurt? Why was I abused? Why did my husband leave? Why did my loved one die? And some bitterness comes into this when they just seem to always see the losses and they can't process why. And I've said to many of my friends who maybe are not believers at that point that it takes time. I'm not going to sit here and promise you that you're going to feel better in 7 more days or 30 days or even a year. It takes time to grieve through the pain of life. But who better to go through that season than with Jesus Christ, who loves you more than anyone does and wants to walk with you through whatever you got to go through. So there's a lot of different reasons that closed minds happen. Some it's a fear, and some it's bitterness, and some is that it's sometimes just the church experience sometimes. They run into people who seem to be rather arrogant or self-sufficient. They figure they can solve their own problems. And our pride fools us into thinking we can make it without God. But we can't. I imagine most of us in this room have tried it. Tried to see if we could figure God out, if we even needed him. You'll find out pretty quick. You desperately need him. And you just so value and appreciate the fact that we are loved by the one who made us. And he believes in us. And he wants to give us his best. Sometimes we aren't even open to it, like this hard soil. So the hard soil represents a hard heart, and the result of a hard heart is a closed mind. Don't talk to me about religion, they say. Don't talk to me about that. This hard soil, it's a hard heart, and it's the result of a closed, it causes a closed mind. Secondly, shallow soil, that's the second kind of soil here. Shallow soil represents a shallow heart. It says in verse 6, other seed fell on shallow soil, with underlying rock. So this seed fell on shallow or rocky soil. The soil looked okay, but it was a very thin layer of dirt over basically a shelf of limestone rock. And without enough nourishment and depth to take root, the sprouts will wither under the sun's heat almost as quickly as they had sprung up. It looks fine. We were talking earlier about planting flowers and doing that kind of thing. I remember we were going to plant some flowers in a certain area where we thought there'd be a great area for them, and we could look at them. And it's one of those things. You start, you know, get the shovel and try to go down. It's like, uh-oh, I don't think we're going to get anywhere on this one. There's rock or a tree root or something running through there, and it's because of that we can't plant anything there because there's stuff in the way. Jesus explains in verse 13, some people are like the seeds on a rocky soil. They welcome the word with joy whenever they hear it, but they don't develop any roots. They believe for a while, but when their faith is tested, they abandon it. And this is still a very big issue today. That we have people that don't understand why we do this. Now, when they at least give us a chance to help them understand it, it can turn around a life, it can turn around a marriage, it can turn around a family. All kinds of things can happen when we understand that Jesus wants us running to him when life gets tough. And you gotta always picture Jesus with his arms out. He's always said, just come to me, he says, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, come to me and I'll give you rest. Wouldn't it be great if everybody we knew heard that verse and believed it enough to say, whatever that is, I want more of it. So shallow soil represents shallow hearts, like seeds on a rocky soil. And Jesus is saying that with this shallow soil, the result is superficial commitment. In other words, we're kind of giving just enough of God to feel religious, but not too much to convict me or make me change. The text says, these people welcome the word with joy. Think of them, think of the times that you've gotten excited about a sermon or a message you've heard somewhere, and it really touched you and moved you, and you made all kinds of promises to God during the prayer time at the end. But you walk out the door, and by that evening, it's as if nothing happened. There was no time given for a root to take place, no depth, no commitment. We're moved, we're emotional, we're excited. But something keeps us from staying firm in this new commitment. And Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 26, anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And Jesus wants to soften the soil of our heart for us to somehow refuse a superficial experience with him, maybe on an as-needed basis. That's not the Jesus I follow. I follow one that I disappoint. I follow one that sometimes he disappoints me because he's not moving on something I wish he would. Lord, can you not make this well? Sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. Life kind of takes over. We're not meant to be here forever. Again, don't just hear the message, put it into practice. When you let the soil of your heart begin to soften, it can mean you'll worship as a living sacrifice. You might get interested in studying the Bible. It's amazing what you'll find there. Friendship with other believers who will hold you accountable and inspire you and walk with you through whatever you gotta walk through. And just because you come to church doesn't mean you're perfect. In fact, you never will be. You're sitting in a room full of people, none of which are perfect. So join the crowd, folks. None of us are perfect, but all of us are worth the coming of Christ to die on a cross to love us anyway and put his spirit in us at Pentecost when he ascended back into the heavens and he comes to us and he says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. Bring your burdens here. And he loves us. In James 1:22, don't just hear the message, put it into practice. 1 Timothy 4:7, take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. That's the only kind of fitness I'm interested in, frankly. I can stay spiritually fit sitting in a chair. I love that. I'm getting fit. I've tried that on Chemitime or two, and You used to get a comment, now you just get that look, you know? You know, guys, when you get that look, they don't have to say anything. You just know you're kind of in trouble. Something's not going right here. That's when we keep our mouth shut, except we forget that until we've already said it. So the third kind of soil is thorny soil. It represents a crowded heart. Boy, this one's probably going to be the one that we resonate with the most. A crowded heart. Verse 7 says, other seed fell among the thorns that shot up and choked out the tender blades. Verse 14, the thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, so they never grow to maturity. The seed sprouts and begins to grow, but it gets quickly choked out by weeds. And the result of this life, the result is a life of distraction. He says there are three distractions. He lists them. Jesus says these in Matthew 6, in Luke 12 too. Worry. These are the distractions that cause the soil to be thorny at times. And we worry. Jesus said, don't worry. Put his kingdom above all other things. The second was riches. There's nothing wrong with being rich. It's when we're consumed with it. And it defines us. And we decide that's who we are. We're just rich, but maybe we're nothing else. God has so much more in store for all of us. He makes us rich in so many ways. Worry, riches, pleasures. Titus chapter 3, I want to read this real quick before we finish. Titus chapter 3. Once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. And you could be reading that. I could have told you that was out of a magazine this week. This is in the Bible, in the book of Titus. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us, Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us right and righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. That's what God does for us through Christ. Worry, riches, and suddenly we're in trouble. Fourth kind of soil represents a healthy heart. This is the soil we all want, the soil we're going to strive for. Verse 8 says, still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And this is exactly what Jesus wants for all of us. This fertile soil represents a healthy heart, and the result is a fruitful life. Verse 15, but the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's message and cling to it and steadily produce a huge harvest. So, what's the condition of your heart? What are you doing to take care of your spiritual heart, your spiritual life? As we launch into a brand new fall season of ministry this week, it's a good time. If you've not been in a Bible study lately, it's a good time to get in one. And there's a lot of them to pick from. How are you doing spiritually? Are you happy with where you are spiritually? Would you like to be further down the path toward Jesus than you are now? This is a great moment in the life of the church to give that some thought and perhaps to take an advantage of what is happening around this place and all our rooms as we grow in our knowledge, not just knowledge of the word, but we apply and we find we can love people better than we've ever loved them. We can forgive quicker than we've ever forgiven. That's what happens when you give your heart to Christ. The seed is God's gift, but the soil is your choice. It's your choice. I'm hoping today that some of you might choose to get off the rocky road and try some really good soil, where good things can happen. In a moment, I'm going to ask the prayer teams to come to the front of all of our rooms, and our prayer teams and pastors will be across the front of every room. And if you need prayer this morning, it may have nothing to do with anything I've said. It may have something you walked in with, and it's a burden maybe that's just been heavy on your heart for this week, or maybe it's been a month or even longer, and you just want someone to pray for you. We'd be thrilled to get to do that. And if you're ready to take that step, if you're ready to change the soil of your life so that gift of this seed can be planted in you and great things can happen, if you're ready to say, I want to be all in for Jesus, this would be a great day to let these folks know who are standing across the front of the rooms that you'd like to hear more or talk further about what does it mean if I put Jesus into my life, at the center of my life. What's that look like? What do I need to do for that to happen? And you're already almost more than halfway there if you just have the desire to have what so many have found that totally, radically changed their life and their future. So after I pray, feel free to come to the front of all the rooms. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you, Father, for the gifts you give us. Thank you for the Bible that is so filled with things that are so obvious and so practical, and they're tried and true principles. Father, may we find ourselves among people who are willing to take a next step, to do a real good inventory of the soil of their life. Father, we thank you that the seed is your gift to us. But we know we have a choice. And I pray there'd be more folks willing to make that choice and find the joy and the peace that comes in walking with Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.